702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
Of course, it's time for this week's edition of Technobite with Aki, and we are going rugged this week, Aki.
Listen, we're always rugged every week.
I thought we've been rugged all along.
But you know, Eusebius, it's quite interesting to see the outdoor market, especially in South Africa. We've got so many people that use their technology outdoors, right? And we know how vulnerable these devices are. You drop a phone, it cracks. You drop a device, it cracks. So this week, I've got this little device over here. This is the Sennheiser Hero 4 microphone. It's called the MKE Elements microphone. And it's quite unique because, you know, you and I might not be playing in this space, but there's a lot of people that are mountain biking on weekends. They're doing action sports. They're doing surfing. They're doing all sorts of things. And they like to film what they're doing, right? Because we see their posts on social media, like Comrades Runners,
absolutely,
for example. You know,
already, really clubby.
How do you know if somebody's run the Comrades? Just look at their photographs on Facebook. No, but well done. What an amazing feat, though.
Absolutely amazing.
Something I'll never do to my body. No. But anyway. So this is the GoPro Hero microphone. It's called the MKE2 Elements microphone. Now, what's unique about this is that it can go underwater. It's completely weather-resistant, dust-resistant. You can put that GoPro with that microphone underwater. And what it does as well is you can go, I don't know who's going to talk underwater, but it'll pick up the bubbles like...
Jeez.
But you can go underwater and you can start talking. It'll record your voice. Now, there are not too many underwater microphones that I'm aware of. Mm. So even for people who are doing scuba diving...
But who's the main target market? You're talking about bikers just now.
Well, it's bikers. You know, you're riding in the weather. You can't, you know, you want to record, you know, if it's raining, for example. It's for surfers who attach those to their surfboards. Scuba diving. You know, if you're swimming, for example, you're doing any kind of action sport, you need something that's really rugged. It's a fantastic microphone, but you know, built by Sennheiser, and they've kind of got this technology they call the umbrella diaphragm, which basically stretches. It's like a membrane that stretches across the microphone head and making it an active membrane, almost like an umbrella, which is why it kind of is so waterproof. And I tell you, the mic quality is amazing as well. Even if you're recording it even outdoors without any weather conditions, it records really, really well. So it's a beautiful device. So if you've got a GoPro Hero 4,
how much will it set me back?
They're in the region of 4,000 rand. They're expensive.
Aki, you are big on data and what that can do, especially for training, whether casual or competitively. What kind of data are people hoping to get if they drive around, ride with this?
This records in 4K. That's actually it's a camera. It's a proper video camera. And it's, you know, GoPro is amazing. I've been around for a long time. It's the action sports cam that's really dominated the market. And now they're doing drones and they're doing all sorts of things. But Sennheiser and themselves, who have made this microphone specifically for this GoPro Hero 4. Really, those guys are amazing. I was at their offices the other day and they've got a pair of headphones that cost, I think, 800,000 rand.
What? But,
you know, I'll take you there one day. And you're going to think, okay, that's crazy. How many of these are going to – who's going to buy them? They've got a couple of orders in South Africa. Okay, no, don't look at me like that. I'm not telling you where – I'm not telling you
– You know who it is.
Yeah, but – I'll take you there one day, and they've got this place in Midrand. They've just opened their new offices, and to listen to the sounds from these headphones, it's mind-blowing, really mind-blowing. So that's the one thing. Talking about rugged, I've also been playing with a Hisense C30 ROG smartphone. Now, this phone is so thin, and it's got this rubber on the corners that really make it very, very durable. It's IK04 level shockproof. So in other words, you can drop it. It's dust resistant. It's IP68 certified, which means it's dust and water resistant. And you can go underwater up to a depth of 1.5 meters for up to 30 meters. And, you know, for a smartphone of this nature with a 5.2-inch display, a 16-megapixel camera, running the latest version of Android, the C30 ROG smartphone is a fantastic device. If you're an outdoor person and you head outdoors and you're doing a lot of sport on the weekends and you're looking for something that's going to take the impact of what you're doing, then this is a great device. I absolutely love what Hisense are doing. This is the Hisense C30 ROG smartphone, and it only goes for 4.5 grand. It's quite an impressive price for what you're getting.
For money.
No, it is. Yeah. It is. And I tell you what, people look for these rugged devices because if you take your normal smartphone, the screens crack. But this thing is really tough, and you can throw it against the wall and it really just – bounces back. Fantastic device. And then we were talking about facial recognition. I love what they're trialing in the US. JetBlue is testing a new system that you're not going to need. JetBlue is an airline in the US, by the way, that you're not going to need your boarding pass when you go on board. So they're scanning your picture when you check in. Okay, and then you just walk past the boarding gate. The camera picks up, it's Eusebius, and lets you in the airplane. And I'm just thinking about it. Think of how much time it's going to save. Yeah. And I just think also as well, you're talking about the world of automation, right? How many jobs is that going to take out of that cycle? Because when you're checking in, there's somebody there that takes your ticket and scans it. And there's like two people at that boarding gate. Now, in future, if you're not going to need that and you've just got your ticket,
but it's always like these weird trade-offs, eh? And I mean, you talk about this every week, because on the one hand there are human jobs being taken away, hopefully you create somewhere else in the economic chain, but also if you're talking about saving time, someone can crunch the numbers in terms of what the savings in time will translate to from an efficiencies gain, and that in turn means also economic benefit. So it's horrible. Someone will lose out, someone will gain.
No, exactly.
The system gains.
Yeah, but they've just started this in Boston on flights going from Boston to Aruba. It's currently being tested in the US as well. So passengers get photographed at the gate, and then, you know, they're against their passports and that sort of thing. So they've got your data in. So once you've checked in, and they're obviously doing iris and all sorts of other security checks as well, but, you know, that's your face is going to be your boarding pass.
That is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So no one thought about that before?
I know.
But then like at what point do they take your photo? Because if I check in with a boarding pass at home and I run to the airport.
They're going to have a special machine that scans your face.
Yeah.
And you know, already they've got this. You know, in when you arrive in Europe, I was just thinking about this now that we're talking. It's an extension of the technology, because if you're going into Europe at the moment, and I've seen it, if you've got a Schengen passport and you've registered already, they've got your photograph. So you walk up. There's actually no border control. So you walk up when you're going through passport control, you look into the camera, it scans your face, it verifies that you are who you are in your passport, and then you go through.
We'll get used to it. I mean, I remember the first time I used to fly around Europe when barcodes, before they were a thing in South Africa.
Yes.
It was weird getting to gates and there's an eerie silence and you think, okay, this is going to be a flight that will be late. Where are the staff? Until people basically check themselves in.
Yeah.
And you don't need more than one person in the event of some sort of technical breakdown.
I wonder if you've had a facelift though and Botox. What happens?
I was just thinking about that. You had a domestic that went wrong and Auntie so-and-so waited with a pot of hot water.
Oh,
then you can't fly away. These are real things, dude.
First
thing you said when you said facial recognition, I thought, oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. But then
there's a mishap.
They scan your iris, so they can identify it. But yeah, if you've had a big facelift, I think that it could say, you know, you could be buzzed, and then your before and after pic will come up. Then it gets embarrassing.
But listen, I mean, the advantages invariably outweigh the disadvantages. It also reduces identity fraud.
Exactly. Thanks, Eusebius. That's me for
Thank you, Aki. We'll do it again next week.
Ciao, ciao.